Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, we're going to Finca Cortezón, the Costa del Sol, on the beautiful Spanish Riviera. We're also going to Pebble Beach. I mean, what more could we be asking for this morning? Of course, it's Solheim Cup weekend. It's also Pure Championship, and that's at Pebble Beach. And that's when the Champions Tour brings the first tee into the mix, and the kids get to play with the professionals. Do you think that sticks with them for the rest of their lives? I think so. But I got a great show for you. It's Ron Cyrak, of course, following the Solheim Cup. Diana DeLucia, Golf Kitchen. The magazine is out. It's beautiful. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post senior European writer, of course, covering Solheim Cup. John Peter Hagen, Pure Championship. That's where he's at, Pebble Beach. And Bethann Nichols, Golf Week magazine senior writer, Solheim Cup, that's what she's covering. We're going to have the lowdown, the latest from, it's an absolutely beautiful golf course, but it's wicked. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And we've got some tee times for you and for the early birds. May you hit the sweet spot every time. There's an 840 and a 916 Volcano Golf Course where it's a lovely 56 degrees. Hapuna. Yes, Hapuna. It's a beautiful golf course. Don't have tee times there. Makalei, though, and that's also up country. The peacocks live there. 830, 918, 1108. On the gorgeous island of Kauai, Poipu. Unfortunately, they've got a power problem, so don't call in. Just, you know, go. They've got a 9:30 and a 10:10 and an 11 o'clock. Now, they aerated last week, so it should be all back to normal again. Kauai Lagoons has a 10 o'clock, 11:20, and a noon. On Oahu at Hawaii Kai, I don't have tee times there, but I've got one for you at Pearl Country Club. Pearl Country Club had a cancellation. 12:08, give them a call before it goes. That's at 12:08 at Pearl. Turtle Bay, 8:50, 9:36, 10:10. Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10:52. Bayview has an 8:38 and a 9:20. And now we're going to Maui on the blue course, Seabury Hall at Wailea. They're having a tournament. And then there's a 12:30 that's open. Emerald, they aerated, but that's just about passed. And they've got tee times between 10:30 and noon, just like the Gold Course has, 10:30 to noon. Maui Nui has an 8:30 and a 9:50, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Okay, that's the tee times. Oh, you want to know what the weather's going to be like? Partly cloudy, means we're going to have quite a bit of clouds. Windward and Mauka sections, numerous showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, isolated showers. Now, yesterday, we had the same forecast, and it meant it was raining hard at times, like in Halawa or around Punch Bowl. So expect some rain, some sun, and just another gorgeous day in Hawaiʻi. The trades are tend to make that 15 to 20. They picked up just a little bit. Okay, we're going to bring in we're really, really happy to connect again with Bethann Nichols, Golf Week magazine senior writer. Solheim Cup is what we're after. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bethann.
Aloha. especially since one of the stars is one of your very own.
Yes.
Allison Corpus.
Now, you know, it was strange because I work the weekdays, right? Like so many people do. So we get to catch up on all of this by DVRing. And since we're in like 12 hours, it's in the middle of the night. We try to watch everything during the day. It makes it really confusing. Now, Allison, Allison was on during the at the very beginning, right? There was the Friday foursomes. And she was spectacular, as always. I haven't really heard her name in the, has she been, are they waiting? What's the deal?
Yeah, so Allison is undefeated. She, yesterday and Friday, she played alongside Nellie Korda in the morning and foursomes play, and then with Jennifer Kupcho in the afternoon, making some really clutch putts down the stretch. Won the match in the morning, halved in the afternoon. They went out again with Nellie Korda this morning and won again. So I think there's a pairing there, a partnership, Nellie and Allison, that we'll see for years to come, I think, in the Solheim Cup. So, she's not playing this afternoon because Stacey Lewis has said that no one on her team, you know, will play all five matches. So no surprise that she's sitting right now, but she'll, you know, be counted on for sure tomorrow, given how well she played.
Awesome. Now, when I was watching Nellie Korda with Allison Korpuz, Nellie was doing more of the close in, and Allison was doing the long game. Tell me, what's the strength of each one?
Well, they're both great ball strikers. I think they're both incredibly consistent, especially Allison. You know, obviously Allison's not as long, doesn't have the firepower that Nellie does, but she just, you know, she has a calming presence about her. And I think that's why the partnership works so well, because Nellie is not a really, you know, outgoing, fiery personality either. And that works well for Allison. She said she needs calm. That's good for her to be alongside. So, you know, very different to Jessica Korda, who is Nellie's, you know, previous partner on foursomes, many foursomes occasions. But obviously Jessica is, has been injured for quite a while and pregnant now, so not on the team. But I think they just have a nice complement to each other.
That's wonderful. Okay, so let's step back. I wanted to set up for all of us this golf course. It seems to be in Finca Cortezón. It seems to have this valleys and plateaus and undulating greens. I mean, it looks like a monster.
No, it's a beast of a golf course. You know, I actually had an opportunity to play there a couple rounds back in May, and you know, this sounds a little mean, but I'm actually pleased to see them struggling on the greens because I really struggled with the speed of the green. So when I saw, you know, players literally like putting off the green, I was like, okay, it wasn't just me, you know. So it's all Bermuda. So if you're familiar with Bermuda, you know, you definitely have a leg up this time around, which is a little unusual playing over there. But when you look at the hilliness of the terrain and physically what it demands, that's one of the main reasons why Stacey said no one will be going five matches, because it's an exhausting course. You know, which is actually really tough for fans. You know, that, I think that it looks great on TV. It's so picturesque, views of the sea in the background and the mountains, and it's in immaculate shape. But it is tough to walk long distances from greens to tee. You know, each hole many times feels isolated, where you can't really watch multiple holes at the same time. So these fans are troopers. They've come out in droves. You know, I applaud them for the atmosphere they've created.
They have made a great atmosphere. There was a comment from David Cannon on the golf course, you know, 40 years Getty Images photographer, PGA Lifetime Achievement in photojournalism, etc. And he says, so sad to see mass exodus of crowds from Solheim Cup after nine holes this afternoon. Great golf course, but horrific for the movement of crowds, and pretty horrific to work at, too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's true, which I think just highlights, you know, sort of the unfortunate reality of these cups, in that, you know, a lot of times it's not about the best golf course for the competition, but it's who gave the best bid, right? And so this is a big tourist thing where, you know, they want people you know, from Hawaii to tune in and say, wow, this is gorgeous. You know, not that you, you know, it's not gorgeous enough there and the weather's perfect and all that where you live. But you know, you tune in and you say, wow, I want to check this out in the south of Spain, you know, and that's, you know, the reason Cinque Cortesine, you know, wants to be televised and wants the tournament in their region. But
yeah. But
it's just not a great spectator venue. So for people who have traveled far and wide to come watch, and then I understand that transportation's been a disaster and it's been tough with food and running out of food and water and, you know, so it's hot. So there's a lot that could be worked on for next time around.
Right. And we're glad we're sitting on the couch and just getting the bird's eye view.
Plenty of water here.
Yes, plenty of water. We're doing fine. You know, and Twitter is such a wonderful, X, formerly known as Twitter, is such a wonderful way to kind of keep up with things as best as possible when we can't be glued to the TV. Lexi, and I think I found this following you, Beth Ann. This is Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer for Golf Week magazine. One of the reporters was saying to Lexi, could you talk about the third shot at 18? There was some question on what you were trying to do and what you did do on the third shot. Could you just go through that for us? And she replied,
"Well, Lexi,
go ahead. Please pick it up."
Yeah, no, I see. She didn't want to comment on it. She didn't think she needed to answer the question, which if you missed the action, you know, Lexi just had a cold shank in an extremely pivotal moment of the competition on the last hole that gave Europe a huge momentum point. So, you know, it was a valid, fair question that needed to be asked. And you could hear someone else on the podium mumbling terrible questions. And Lexi, you know, didn't want to answer. She eventually did sort of answer the question, but it was the reaction to it that was disappointing. It was a fair question. You know, this is sports. You know, you're going to be asked about, you know, the good and the bad, especially when it comes at a pivotal moment. And so I just think that's just a lack of understanding of the media. And you want to be taken seriously. You want to be covered on a broader scale by more journalists. This comes with the territory.
Exactly. I think she said it was a bad lie. I didn't hit a good chip, but it was pretty much impossible to do. So it was
right. That which it wasn't an impossible chip, but it was the way she reacted to the
yes.
idea that the question was even being asked.
Yes.
You know, and which was just unnecessary.
Yeah. Exactly. Lynn Grant. Did I really see her par four hole out with a wood? Did she?
Well, you saw her drive the green.
Yes.
It's been really fun having a couple of holes that players can reach drivable par four, starting right off the bat on the first hole, and it's a very dramatic downhill hole. And you know, Lynn Grant, she has it all. She can do it all, the complete package. And I love what she had to say about playing all five matches. You know, she said it's all mentally how you're thinking, and she's not tired. You know, it's how you want to think. She's ready to go. She's all for it. So, you know, Suzanne is actually playing three players in all five.
Wow.
Compared to obviously the U.S.'s none. And you know, one could look at that as a, you know, big disadvantage for Europe, and perhaps it will be in the end. But I do think that with the crowd carrying them along tomorrow, that you know, I don't think it will be as big of a factor as maybe we might think.
Yeah, it looked like it was a hole in one. You know,
you did see Emily Pettersson with the only the second ace in Solheim Cup history on Friday.
Oh,
that was
see,
impressive. And this is a player who was really struggling in the morning. So that was really a huge mental shift for her.
Okay. Back to the U.S. team. Andrea Lee. She's just like on fire. She can do anything.
Yeah, I love this afternoon pairing with Rose Zhang. Obviously, they still have their work cut out. But you know, Andrea, you know, she played great just to make the team without relying on a captain's pick. She made it literally on the number, and just with really strong play in about the last month coming in. She's you know, a former world number one as an amateur player. She's a winner on the LPGA and one of five rookies on Team USA that Stacey Lewis is having to rely heavily on. But she's also a player who, you know, is used to big moments and had fun playing alongside Danielle Kang yesterday. Victoria considers Danielle to be a big sister. And so, you know, that might be a pairing we see for a long time to come.
Wow. Yeah. So who's out now? I think I'm seeing, wait a second. Nelly Korda and Ewing just won 4-3 over Charlie Hull and Leona McGuire. So we've got one in the, but is it still 7-6? I'm trying to figure out the scoreboard here. What's going on with the scoreboard?
Well, actually, that was from the morning matches. It is 7-6, but we're in the afternoon. Leona already won earlier. So it's you're looking at Madeline Sagstrom and Emily Pettersson who are two up and have a putt to win the match coming down the stretch here. I mean, obviously we opened the whole competition with Team USA sweeping the first session, which had never been done before in foursomes history. So, you know, we were really curious to see, you know, how Europe would respond to that. And it's been really impressive to see what they've done. And they could end up going into singles now with a lead if at all. Goes as planned for them down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was.
They just tied it up, by the way.
Okay. But it's difficult to follow because the scores online don't reflect what's going on in real time, and that's kind of frustrating.
Well, the if you're watching the telecast, it's really hard to follow because they don't put the scores up. So it's been really interesting. I mean, they have the total score up there, but that doesn't really help you in terms of like how the matches are standing as the rounds unfolding.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation with this new company that's providing the feed for the LET. So it'll be interesting to see, you know. It's interesting to see if they get this fixed tomorrow. I hope so, because it's going to be really tight down the stretch, and people shouldn't have to, you know, watch their phone and their TV simultaneously.
No, and sometimes you can't even count on your phone or your online. I'm looking at my laptop, you know, and it's telling me something that's not real. So goodbye. I'm just going to have to follow X and see what people.
Right? Yeah, I know. Well, I can't even read the scoreboard on my phone. I actually have to take a screenshot of it so I can blow it up so I can read it because the scoring system is so bad on the LPGA flat platform. So
there. Yes.
Things that need to be addressed.
Yes. Okay. Now, European team captain Suzanne Pedersen with Kate Cockerell. Suzanne, so much experience. What did you say to your team to rally them? There is no straight road to success. You bounce back and start again. Oh, here we go. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm saying both things out. So we're talking about that Friday wipeout where the Europeans were zero. And then they came back and won three of the four matches. And, of course, you know, then split two on Saturday foursomes. And if this is correct, it's zero USA and one for the Europeans in the Saturday four ball. Is that right?
Well, right now in the Saturday four ball, no. The Europeans have already won a couple of points.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I had to walk away from my TV. But it's everything's down the stretch right now. So the Americans have a chance to win one match. Right now, actually Cheyenne Knight's putting right now to win and didn't make it. So it's very tight down the stretch. And it'll be, you know, within a point probably going in tomorrow.
Wow. That's what you said earlier. And I couldn't figure it out. It looks like we're within a point, But I don't know because the scoring. So if you get frustrated, folks, just know that we're watching fantastic golf. These women are incredible. Don't worry about the score at this moment. We'll worry about it tomorrow when it's going to be all fixed, we hope. That's where I'm going to go with that. And your overall feelings about how this Solheim Cup is going, other than, you know, a few problems with the golf course and the spectators and the scoreboards, it's fantastic. The competition between these two teams is spectacular.
Oh, the quality of golf today, especially in the afternoon, has been phenomenal. I mean, if you're, you know, both sides are making birdies, and you have to make a birdie to have the hole, not to win the hole, to have the hole. So it's a shame that people can't appreciate that because all this other stuff, you know, takes away from it. You know, when you're having a hard time as a viewer following along what's happening. You know it's good, but you're still confused. You know, who's playing who again? You know, it's unfortunate because the caliber of play in the women's game has never been better. And obviously, you know, 2019, the last time the Cup was staged in Europe was phenomenal. It was you know, couldn't have been more of a fairy tale finish with Suzanne Pedersen, you know,
yes,
making a walk off putt, you know, to end her career as a mom. To win the Cup for Europe. So it's just a shame that then, you know, you come back 4 years later and it's, you know, in Spain and it's not quite the same. So hopefully they'll get it sorted because the women deserve better.
Yeah, and the women are just amazing. You know, Ludvig Åberg, the 23-year-old sensation who's going to be in the Ryder Cup. He's like a rookie and he's in the Ryder Cup. He followed Rose Zhang all day yesterday, I think it was, because he was watching her game. And I thought to myself, wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, I think his caddy has a connection there. There are some connections there with the European team, personal connections with him for a big reason why he came. Exactly, you know, when players come, you know, on the male players come, you know, often, even if they have a personal connection with one player, they're usually blown away by the caliber of, you know, when you see it in person of the rest of the top players in the world. So it would be nice if there was a lot more connection between the Ryder Cup and the Solheim Cup with them being back-to-back. You know, Stacey Lewis commented on that earlier in the week that she felt like it was such a missed opportunity that did not happen and that it really feels like these two events, you know, had very little crossover at all. So, you know, unfortunately, the powers that be didn't make that happen. But hopefully maybe some people can see it as a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because I think it's very exciting to know that we've got Solheim Cup this week and the Ryder Cup next week. It's just like we should just be in teaming, you know, go USA.
Right.
Right. And all that.
Well, but you'd like to see a marketing, you know, campaign surrounding that. It would have been nice to have commercials, you know, for the past year, you know.
Yes.
It would have been nice to have,
yes,
to have the road to Europe be about the men and the women so that, you know, because we all know that in the media landscape, everything's about money. And you're going to give your viewers and your followers, you know, what they want and what's going to help you reach your content goals. And in most cases, you know, that's men's golf. But if you package it together and you give outlets and, you know, a reason to throw the women in there, you have a better chance.
Awesome. Yes, Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. It's been far too long. I hope you'll be on real soon. We can talk about everything around the world. Thank you.
Sounds great. Always good to talk to you, Danielle.
It's good to talk to you. Aloha.
Aloha.
And we're going to come back. We're going to go to Pure Championship with the first tee playing with the Champions Tour after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brusseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at waileagolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
The golf club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Gotta tell you, okay, right now, if this is correct online, the United States has 8 points, Europe has 7 points, and Europe is on the field still against the U.S., of course, and they have one up through 15. In other words, they're leading by 1 point. There are three holes to play, and so it's really tight. It's really exciting. It's the Solheim Cup. Equally exciting, John Peter Hagen, Play Away, Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon. He's a real estate developer, an architect, a member of Hazeltine, and with an apartment in Paris and a few rounds under his belt, he is inside the clubhouse. Welcome in.
Well, he's very honored to be here on, as you said, at the Round the World Ladies Universal Golf Day.
Isn't it?
And I will tell you, there's some amazing women. I would call them, we'd almost call them children. But a girl yesterday, 14 years old, practice round on Pebble, men's tees, shoots 71.
Whoa. How old did you say she is?
14.
How tall is she?
I saw her from a distance. I would guess she's 5'6", a little bit on the heavy side. I don't mean that in a negative way, but she's got a little bit of brawn on her,
yes.
But she bombs it.
Wow. I wanted to tell you that Mike Weir, what does Mike Weir, Tong Chai Jai-D, Y.E. Yang, Jerry Kelly, Richard Green, Vijay Singh, Arjun Atwal, Stephen Alker, Dickie Pride, Brian Gay all have in common?
And Ernie Els and Goosen and Steve Flesh.
Wait a minute. I had those nine all tied for the lead going into today's round.
They are. They're four under. And a couple of, and to, this is the second round. It's a 54-hole tournament. There were more than one incident yesterday where the girls and the young boys and girls contributed points on the hole instead of the pro.
Wow. That's really something. This is all on Spyglass, right?
Spyglass and Pebble. Pebble Beach and Spyglass, and the finals tomorrow are on Pebble.
Wow.
They do a cut. There's very few tournaments on the senior tour, as you know, that has a cut. But there's 80 kids, 14 to 18, Half of them are women, by the way. Half of them are girls.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, which is really fantastic. And all things considered, I watched them on the practice field on Tuesday and Wednesday. And don't forget, everybody showed up early because everybody wants to play pebble, right?
Right.
Plus, I would bet that half the kids that are here have probably never been in California, let alone be on Pebble Beach. So it's a real interesting opportunity for them. But on the range, all the pros were there, giving lessons, photo sessions, and all the rest of it, and just a real friendly atmosphere. I would bet of the 80 kids, the women were better than the men in terms of maturity and golf skills.
Well, everybody knows girls grow up a little bit. We're always more mature than the boys.
I'm not going to answer that.
I just got myself in a whole lot of trouble. Hey,
If I send you another cap.
Exactly. See, I'm in trouble now with you. But this is great, too. 16-year-old Morgan Riley, one of the 80, you know, from First Tee, is playing, and he's following in his brother's footsteps. His brother Quinn played in 2015, and they have a single mom who's raised them, and it's just awesome. And I like what they said. The First Tee creates lifelong mentors and friendships. As a white person raising two black boys, this is mom talking, they needed someone else's voice. The program has a motto, building game changers. Both of my boys want to change the narrative around black people golfing. Wow. And
yeah,
so good.
Powerful.
Yes.
Yep. And the personification of that is, you know, they learn things that nobody has ever taught anymore, like etiquette. And to see these kids come off the 18th green, take their caps off, and shake hands with the pros in gratitude, is just gets your heart pounding, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. To see them growing up knowing etiquette.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
there's right. You know, so much that golf teaches us, so much that golf can teach children. And even if you start this game late, you know, there is an etiquette to the whole process. But it's fun at the same time. It's not stuffy. You know, it's fun. The kids have fun. But they know when to, you know, acknowledge, when to stop and ask for advice. You know, knowledge is there for the asking, as they say. So it's really a wonderful game, and we have a great First Tee program in Hawaii, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association with First Tee now has teamed up, of course, and you can reach them at HSJGA, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And see if, you know, I mean, it's so much fun. The kids have fun. They really do. Oh, I'm going to play golf. Yeah, and you're going to like it a lot. I was surprised to see my grandson. He started playing when he was young, and he really enjoyed it, you know. So, and for some children who can't play some of the team sports for whatever reason, double jointed or whatever, you can play soccer or golf. Those things don't hurt your joints as much, you know, so that's just something to think about for kids. So what else?
Well, that's true, yeah, and it all comes, as you said earlier, with the etiquette comes maturity in all ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, and these 70 kids that are walking around Pebble, or 80 kids that are walking around Pebble today, without you can just tell who they are. It's almost like seeing somebody from the military. You know what a Marine looks like because the way they walk and carry themselves, you know. And these kids are really mature, and they are really going to be making an impact on our society and certainly on the world of golf.
It's wonderful. It's great. It's great. Remember when we wanted to grow the game a lot, many, many, many years ago, to grow the game?
And, oh yes.
Yeah, and it's definitely we're feeling the power of that movement with kids getting involved, and it lasts a lifetime. You can play golf until you're not able to walk. Maybe or you can still play golf when you can't walk. There's these wonderful little.
That's right. Yeah, there's a tournament on the old course, St. Andrews, a couple of weeks ago that was just for handicap.
Yeah.
And they drew a huge crowd.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
People with prosthetics, people in wheelchairs, whatever, blind people.
Yes.
And it's a real life changer and a real solid means of somebody being a part of society as so-called normal people are.
John Peter Hagen, just tell us, what's the weather like at Pebble Beach today?
Little over, it's no fog. It's probably going to hit the low 60s this afternoon, but sun.
Wow.
So it's today and tomorrow. It's good for television.
Sounds romantic. That's nice.
Well,
I like that.
I'm not going to go on that question either.
Oh, John Peter Hagen, it's always fun to talk with you. Author, Play Away, Please, The Tale of the Sail of Golf's Greatest Icon, a real estate developer, architect, and member of Hazeltine. You know, when was the last time you got there to play? You're always on the West Coast.
You broke up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. When was the last time you played Hazeltine?
Oh boy! Before the Ryder Cup.
Before
I'm no longer a member there, but I have not been on the golf course since I guess the year before the Ryder Cup, and I've forgotten what year that was.
Wow! Well, that was 2 years ago, right?
So, 2 or 3. Yeah. Well, no, it was pre COVID.
Okay. Well, we're gonna have to get you on the golf course. What's going on?
You're right. You're right.
Thank you for calling in, John Peter Hagen. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
And it's a joy to talk about the girls and the golf and what amazing athletes and human beings they are, I'll tell you.
Awesome. Aloha.
Aloha.
Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, Senior European Writers with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair, mold remediation, asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten.
call 847-4047 now.
Lewin Mayer is going to join us in a couple of minutes. But before we get to you, Lewin, I know you're standing by. We've got two rounds of golf that you can win. You can go play on the beautiful, and it is really spectacular. It's a gorgeous golf course, and it's upcountry, Volcano Golf Club. It's between the two volcanoes on Hawaii Island, on the Big Island. So it's, you know, you've got this incredible vista, and you can enjoy the environment. Just being there is fantastic. By the way, there's a 9:16 if you can get there in time. There's an 8:40 as well. So we've got two rounds. All you have to be is the ninth caller. The number is 808-545-1111. That's two rounds of golf for you and a friend. You can give them as a gift, and they're good for a year. So you don't have to be on the Big Island. You can be going to the Big Island and check out Volcano Golf Club between the two volcanoes. That number again is 808-545-1111.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Lewin Mayer, a Global Golf Post senior writer, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you. What a time.
What a time.
Europe have just won the third point of the afternoon series. So, I mean, they've won three matches, and America have won one. So going into tomorrow's singles, it's level at 8-8. And that, though, we lost all four of the first games yesterday morning.
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's the first time, I think, that it's ever happened. Being swept in the morning, swept in the Friday foursomes, but now coming back. And someone asked Suzanne what she said to her team after that major loss in the Friday foursomes. Do you know what she said to them?
Well, I know just the first bit of it because I had a little speak with them, which isn't how you'd normally say it, but a little speak, I would think, from Suzanne would have meant business. So I think she must have told, goodness knows how she put it, but she said, obviously, she was saying, just for heaven's sake, get going. It's what you need to do. Because they were a bit frightened. They looked a bit scared in the first foursomes.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. But she also told them, you know, that everything is not won on the first day and things can change, you know, and I thought that was so cool and so right. I mean, you just never know. It can look like as dark as heavens, you know, and with the rains pouring and thunder and lightning is horrible. And then next thing you know, you're in the sunny valley and everything is great because that's golf.
Well, it is. I mean, it's amazing to me it's the body language that tells you so much. Mm. I mean, the body language of our lot wasn't that good, obviously, on the first morning, and it spread, but it obviously helped the Americans. It's the first group, they started off with by going three up after three or something, and of course, with smiles spread among the Americans, and ours were looking ever more downhearted, I'm afraid.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But, and here we are, all square. It's a brand new ball game, and we're going into singles matches. This is going to be very interesting how who they pair against whom. When will we know those pairings?
Well, I don't think you're going to know them for another hour. Cause I don't think they have to put them in automatically, you know, straight away. And, you know, all of them must be pretty tired, even as though they're running on adrenaline, the Europeans particularly at this moment. And it's a very tiring course, and they're going to have to put, obviously some of the girls will have played five times by the end of tomorrow, and it's a course that takes you up and down hills. It's on the side of a vineyard, and everything is testing about it. So you're not just being tested physically, but mentally, as you think, you know, how, where do I putt here? Which way does it go? It's very, very complex. So they make for very heavy reading, these greens.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I was looking, you know, okay, bottom line is I watched the Masters for years on television, right? And Augusta National. And so when I actually went to Augusta National on the course and walked the entire course, I was amazed at what we didn't see on the flat screen that television is, that the, you know, the hills going up are really hills hiking straight up. And that's the same thing that's going on for us while we, you know, looking at this golf course on the side of a winery sort of explains everything, right? It just up and down, and it, what's different about the Bermuda grass? Are the European players accustomed to Bermuda grass?
Well, no, there was a lot of conversation yesterday about how they hadn't been brought up on it, even though they play on it in America, and that the Americans were just better on the Bermuda grass when it came to the chipping and putting, etc., on and around the greens. But today, well, they've got used to it now. I think, you know, they're fine on it today.
Yes.
And I have never seen such strong play on and around the greens. I mean, it was just bordering on the phenomenal for patches this afternoon from both sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's what I've been able to see, and as so many people, you know, we work and we try to catch a couple of hours here and there. It has been phenomenal to watch. And one of the captains, vice captains rather, is Laura Davies. You wrote in Global Golf Post about what her thoughts on the Solheim Cup and what was needed of this team, this European team. Can you tell us a little bit what we all love Laura Davies?
Oh, yes, everybody loves Laura Davies. She's a terrific sort, absolutely terrific. Well, she was saying that she thought, the winning side would have produced 12 players who were, you know, who would have been at their best. Now, I don't think she was meaning they were going to be at their best all the times, but they had to produce their best golf at some point, especially when they're all going to get used. And I think it's going to be very interesting tomorrow. And I wonder, you know, I don't know who Suzanne's going to send out, but I have a feeling that Laura might have opted to send out Saganda first in front of a crowd that's her own, because she's played so well today. She really has. She's whole putts when they really matter, and that's what you have to do. And, you know, Saganda is usually a quiet soul, and a lot of the time she goes unnoticed. Like, I don't suppose she's seen as a sort of great attraction in America because they won't know her. And yet, bring her into Spain, and she brightens up like a Seve of old. You know, she was smiling at everybody. She was wonderful, and I always thought she might be like that. And my goodness, she was.
Yes.
You know, she's been terrific so far.
Yes.
Absolutely. And apparently, she's very good fun in the team room. I mean, Laura said that she's excellent in the team room.
So much fun to get Laura's take, to be able to talk with her about what she sees coming. Europe's Lynn Grant made her Solheim Cup debut this week.
Well, absolutely. I wrote she is the one who beat all the men in the Swedish Mixed Open last year. I think it was last year that she did it. And she even finished ahead of Stenson. Now, I think what she did took women's golf a level higher. She proved it was quite possible to beat the men. We shouldn't be scared of them. We shouldn't be thinking that, you know, we're second best. And, of course, the men were telling us we were second best. But, in fact, I think the women are getting, they're better at putting. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen men putt better than I saw these women putt today.
Uh-huh.
And I just hope they keep up that level of play tomorrow for everybody to see. Because I think now, with it all level, I think people who might not necessarily have watched before are all going to be watching fiercely tomorrow.
Yes. Because, you know, this is a, you know, this is a fight. This is head on. Yeah, it's really exciting to see how close this is. And I'm thrilled. One of your co-workers, so to speak. Matt Cooper, I haven't spoke with Matt in a long time, talking about the U.S. Solheim Cup captain Stacey Lewis picking Lexi Thompson, who everybody kind of wondered, should she be picked because her game is so iffy? You know, she's on and off, hot, cold. Picked to hit the first shot. She did really well, didn't she?
Well, I thought it was an inspired idea. Apparently, Stacey didn't think about it till sort of very late in the day, but I thought it was an absolutely brilliant choice to make because, you know, Lexi, she needs to be put in a position where she's encouraged and when she feels good about herself. And out top, she certainly did feel good about herself. And that's what she needed to after, you know, missing so many cuts over the year. She certainly wasn't feeling great. And so it was. I thought it was absolutely a splendid idea because suddenly Lexi was walking tall, playing well, putting well, and I thought she was absolutely terrific. And I think you'll find that that has turned around her career and that she'll be very good. You know, she'll have another wonderful spell ahead after this.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I think it could happen.
It could, absolutely.
And I thought where we made a mistake was in not sending out Sigander on the first in the first match, not in the first match, but in the first foursome series, because I think we needed to get the crowd going, and I think that would have done it. But Sigander sat out the first foursomes, and then when she played in the four balls yesterday, she wasn't played till the last group. And I think that was leaving it too late. I think we needed to get Sigander out at the top of the four balls. And that would have, that you know, we needed that for the crowd.
Yeah, well, so, it's all working itself out.
Everybody, you know, I think Suzanne Patterson can genuinely say that, you know, everything she did was for a reason, and so probably she had, a good reasoning for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sigander is a good player. You can, you know, she's the kind of person that if she wasn't playing, she would go out and get the crowd going anyhow, because she's a very, you know, she just knows how to behave in these things, and she's been so excited about this event for ages because it's in Spain.
And Seve, didn't he do it? You know, there's, you know, you use your hands to get them going, you know, as you hear a little roar, and I can't remember which player did that, but yeah, having that interaction with your fellow countrymen, there's nothing quite like it. There's nothing at all like it.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it's such an individual game for so much of the year, and you don't see them, you know, just smiling and reacting to each other as they do on an occasion like this. I mean, it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful today.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I need to wrap right now, but I want to ask you, you know, was there something that you really wanted to talk about that I haven't given you a chance to?
No, I'm just absolutely delighted at the way things have gone today. I just think it's a miraculous recovery from how it was, you know, four down after four. And suddenly, here we are, 8-all going into the single series. I mean, you couldn't have a better situation than this.
Yeah, and we'll say...
It's not a great course. You know, the course isn't spectacular. Well, it's lovely to look at. It's very, very testing, both on the mind and physically. So I think at the end of this week, they all deserve a week off.
And then there's the Walmart and Northwest Arkansas Championship presented by P&G on the 29th. You know?
Well, they can step back and make comparisons between themselves and the men and think, oh, we putted better than that, maybe.
Thank you so much. It's always great fun talking with you, Lewin, and very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Lovely to be here. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Diana DeLucia is with us next. She is the founder and editor-in-chief and publisher Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table book. after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at WaileaGolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
All right. Let's bring in Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen. It's a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and a coffee table book. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, Danielle. It's been a while. It's great to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice and a beautiful magazine that you're bringing out. Tell us about the changes that have come to Golf Kitchen.
Well, I'm really happy and proud that I have a new team with Karen Morgan from Hunter PR, Chris Bartlett from Gem Advertising, Gary Doyens, and Jocelyn Maminta from JM Media. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And you wrote a great article, and it was good to see your writing. We'll bring it up a little bit later, about legacy photography and the importance of it. But I thought we would start off with the something that Golf Kitchen supports every year, the Berenberg Invitational at Glen Arbor. That was held again. Is it still very a gala evening? And I think, what was it, $500,000 was raised?
Yeah, they raised $550,000. So they've raised $2 million in three events, which is pretty exciting. But this event was, I mean, you know me, I don't play golf. But I was blown away by the Monday's event that I spent the entire day and night at, because it was raining torrential. I'm not even joking. And Gary Player and Fred Couples and all those players all went out there and got saturated and actually played the tournament.
And played the Berenberg Invitational?
It was incredible. I couldn't even believe it.
Now, what is the money raised for?
The Nebraska Pancreas Hospital of Excellence.
Wow. And so $2 million has already been raised. So Barenberg Invitational is in its third year?
That's correct. This was the third event. It used to be the Gary Player Invitational, but I believe the story is that when Gary's wife passed away, they all wanted to come together to raise money to find a cure for pancreas cancer.
Then that's one of the things that is so frightening. You know, when you hear pancreatic cancer, it's like a death sentence, unless you catch it in its, you know, stage one, which is almost impossible because it's so difficult to detect. It's really something. It's so glad to see. And who was all there in addition to Gary Player out in the drenching world?
Oh, goodness. I wouldn't be able to list all those. I did send you a press release, though.
Yes. Yes. I just wanted to give it to you. Legacy Photography. Let's go straight into the magazine now, the new look of Golf Kitchen Magazine. I want to ask you, what is the new look? What is your plan here?
Well, I'm relying on my new partners to bring this into the next generation. We want to add a lot more opportunities and different story opportunities. Like, for example, I just interviewed Brittany Lang, Brittany Limasone, is that how I say it?
Lincecome.
Yeah, there you go, and Christy Kerr, and we did a whole nutrition piece, and I have some recipes from these lovely lady golfers.
Yes.
So I'm excited to add the golfers into the equation as well on the nutrition side. And they've got some really good tips for people when they're playing on the tour, when they're at home or rushing around, because it's such a demanding sport. I mean, you're walking like 10 miles every day, so.
Right.
It was interesting for me to speak to some golfers.
Yeah, and I bet those, you know, recipes and the ideas that they have would translate into someone who's into fitness anyway, you know, and you don't have to be a golfer necessarily to really enjoy the input from a golfer like Brittany Lincecome. Who were the other ones that you mentioned?
Brittany Lang.
Yeah, Brittany Lang.
And Christy Kerr.
Great players all, and a lot of experience between them. And probably completely different personalities.
Yeah, they were really nice, though. I sat down together with the three of them, and, you know, I'm not used to talking about the game of golf, so it was different for them, I'm sure, as well, because we weren't talking about golf. We were talking about nutrition and food and things that I love.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, it's universal food.
Exactly. Well, that's what brings them too. I think the idea is it's everything between the golf and the kitchen. So we're trying to open that door to be more inclusive.
Yeah, right. So it's not just the golf and the, but Golf Kitchen. When did you first discover the beauty of, you know, what was happening in a country club kitchen?
Back in 2010, I had come off the Restaurant Insider magazine that I was part owner with. We closed that due to the recession of 2008-09. And I wanted to do something in a different area where chefs weren't being highlighted, and that's where the club industry came into it. And then I was, like, just making up things at the time, as you know. And I went, oh, there's this golf industry. There must be good chefs there because the people that are members of these private clubs can eat anywhere in the world, so they'd have to have good culinary talent. And then I produced my first book, started at Sabonic Golf Club in Southampton, and, you know, it just went on, and two books later, I have another collection finally after, like, 5 years coming in April next year. And it's really exciting at the moment because the next Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards is the fifth one, and it's the second year of the Golf Kitchen Invitational. This year we have a full field in 2024, April 23rd. and we've changed the entire format, so I'm super excited. We're going to have a lot of chefs on property.
Are you going to give us an idea of what the new format is, or should we wait?
The new format for the Invitational, I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
We have 18 private clubs and country club foursomes playing at Glen Arbor Golf Club on April the 23rd, 2024. The chef or the sous chef or one of the culinary team, whoever plays golf, will be the team leader, and the rest of the team will be made up of either other staff members or golf pros, whatever they. And we've got, or we've already got some teams signed up, and they're really good brands.
I know. I would just be like, you have to go out and find yourself the golf pro, right? Have him on your team. If you're the chef and you're, you know, a 30 handicap, well, yeah, I've got the pro here.
And we're working to raise money for the Culinary Institute of America's Golf Kitchen Scholarship Program, which we've been trying to get off the ground for years.
Oh, fantastic.
We've got a silent website auction starting, I think, just before Thanksgiving. It'll go for a couple of months. And then we'll be having an auction on the night as well.
And so this is all coming up before Thanksgiving. It's September and October, then November. So we're going to have to talk again early November so we can get everything, so we can get some Culinary Institute of America monies raised for scholarships. This is great. And
yeah.
Finally, legacy photography. Why is it important for a country club to keep photos of their culinary arts?
Well, many years ago when I was looking at Augusta National and the Masters, that, you know, they've got an entire history of the golf course, all the changes in the clubhouse. You know, every little tiny thing that ever happens on the golf course. So why not keep a record? So I started kind of like delving back into their history. I even kind of spoke to them back then, but they're missing a couple of years for whatever, maybe it was a war or something like that. So they don't have their menus. And I was looking, but they do have most of their menus. And I started exploring that with other properties, and I thought, you know, these clubs aren't keeping a record of their culinary history, and I really think they should be appreciating their culinary history as much as their golf history.
Wow. That is...
The two go together. You shouldn't just have brilliant photography of the golf course and the clubhouse. Like, these days, you need to have really good photographs to attract new members as well. So you need to be able to showcase your team. And I think also showcasing your team, your culinary team, it gives them a lot more pride in what they're doing.
I love you, Diana. The fact that you understand that behind the kitchen walls, there's this group of people, and it means so much to them to create excellence in the kitchen, and that the members and patrons, that they enjoy their meal, and they just don't get the kudos necessarily. You know, when was the last time anyone called the chef and said, could you ask the chef to come, because we really want to tell him what a great meal this was? It used to be something people did frequently, you know. And you got to meet the chef. I did that once when I was 14. I was just so excited about the meal that I had, and I wanted to thank someone. And I wanted to thank the man who put it all together. And he was so gracious and so kind and had a huge smile on his face. And that's what it's all about. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine. And the coffee table book is coming out, the new one. How do we get your magazine?
We have a new system set up. If you go to the Golf Kitchen homepage, there are two links. One is to subscribe, and you can buy individual copies as well while they last. And that goes over to the new team and gets distributed from New Haven, Connecticut.
So, and that's golfkitchen.com?
Correct.
Awesome. Golfkitchen.com. You can get a subscription. You can get, you know, magazines from the past. Just go to golfkitchen.com. Diana DeLucia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. It's Ryder Cup. We're all square, so to speak. It's 8-8. United States, Europe, going into it. And we're going to, oh, by the way, we have not gotten our ninth caller, and there is a line open now if you called and you couldn't get through. The number is 808-545-1111. Two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Course.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author, Vision 54, the trilogy, with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Always always good to be with you.
Oh, man, this is exciting stuff. The Solheim Cup, I mean, starting off 4-0, you know, U.S. way out in the lead with the Friday foursomes. Europe comes back, and now it's all square. It's all tied up.
Yeah, you know, I thought going in this was going to be another one of those 15-13 or 14-and-a-half, 13-and-a-half matches, and it looks like that's what it's going to come down to. This European team might be the deepest team they've ever had. You know, they're just top to bottom, very, 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 very strong. And I think we're seeing some new faces, some fresh stars emerging on both sides. You look at the American team, and Megan Kang and Allison Corpuz lead them with 2.5 points each. Cheyenne Knight's got 2 points. And on the European side, the old stalwart Carlotta Sanganda, who's from Spain, playing at home, has 3 points. But so does Lynn Grant, you know. And so we're seeing some sort of a changing of the guard here, and this is going to go right down to the wire.
This is fantastic. Could you say that one more time about Allison Corpuz?
She and Megan Kang both have 2.5 points. And, you know, I thought going in that for the U.S. to win, they have five rookies in this team, and they needed a couple of those rookies to come up big. Well, you're looking at it, Allison Corpuz and Cheyenne Knight have Allison's got 2.5 points and Cheyenne's got 2. They've come up big. And I thought on the European side, they needed their stalwarts, their core group of veterans out there to come up big. And Saganda is leading the charge in that regard.
Yeah, she's powerful. You know, Carlotta.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just really powerful, and it's great to see her out in her home country. I mean, in Spain, and just enjoying the crowds. And the crowds have been on television. It looks like the crowds are having a great time. There have been some stories about it being rather difficult for the spectators because the golf course is difficult for everybody, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's built on the side of a mountain, which is not always the best place to build a golf course. And it's not an easy place for anybody to get around. And, you know, that's one thing to consider going into tomorrow's singles. And, by the way, we're still waiting for the singles pairings to be announced. But going in tomorrow, no American has played all four matches, but three of the Europeans have. Lynn Grant, Leona Maguire, and Emily Pettersson have all played four matches. So they've walked this very hilly golf course. Two matches, 2 days in a row. So you got to wonder about what their stamina is going to be going into Sunday singles. And also the wind is supposed to be up on Sunday. So it could be a real endurance test.
Yeah, well, it's been an endurance test. I was mentioning earlier in the show that, you know, television doesn't tell us anything about ups and downs. So as we learned when, you know, I learned when I went to Augusta National, it was like, whoa. This is so, yeah. You know, we hear about it, but when you're actually there, it must be a true test. And then for the Europeans to have to learn how to use the Bermuda greens, right? Something that they weren't accustomed
right.
to.
The one thing that you can get about the terrain from watching on TV is there were so many holes where to get the ball in the fairway, you got to land on the extreme, you know, one side of the fairway. You got to land almost like in the right rough so that you don't roll into the left rough, you know, or the other way around. The fairways just canter so much. But, yeah, I mean, you are seeing them struggling a bit. It's that Bermuda rough is it's particularly difficult around the greens, those touch shots, those soft little feel shots around the green. Sometimes it grabs the club. Sometimes the ball pops out.
You know, I was just, as we're talking, I hadn't really thought about this earlier, so I don't mean to spring this, but I mean, who is this golf course built for? I mean, you know, what membership would want to play something like this?
I think it's a resort course. I think it's built for those Northern European tourists who like to come down to the Costa del Sol. And, you know, I did the 97 Ryder Cup at Valderrama, which is not far from this golf course in Costa del Sol down there. And the condo community that they put the media up in was all owned by Brits, you know. It was that's where they had their winter homes to come down to. So I think that's a lot of the play that they get down there are the Northern Europeans who are looking for sunshine in the wintertime.
Yeah, and they don't care whether it's a hard golf course or not. They're tough.
Right.
So it
is pretty, though. It is pretty. So it's got that going for it.
Oh, yeah, well, it's beautiful. I mean, you know, I haven't been on a golf course that's, you know, that caliber where it puts, you know, all this money is involved that isn't, you know, in an immaculate, amazing condition. What do you expect to? Who do you think they're going to come out with first? Who do you think will be number one pick to lead off the singles?
I think both captains will probably, you know, send out three of their best players in the first three matches and save three of their best players for the last three matches. So, so do you take somebody like a Saganda and a Lynn Grant and maybe split them up, put one of them one of the first three matches and then save one of them towards the end? The gamble about keeping a really good player for the end is it could be over by the time you get to the 12th match.
Yes.
And I think for both teams, you're going to see some of the stars out early because you want to get your color, your flag on the leaderboard early. You know, it's astounding how quickly momentum changes in match play. And it seems like even though the players aren't playing together, it seems like they feed off of each other when they look up on the scoreboard and they see, oh, there's some blue up there, or oh, there's some red up there. And then all of a sudden, putts seem to start dropping. I for the Americans, as I said, Megan Kang, Allison Corpuz, surprising to me, Lexi Thompson's played very well in this Solheim Cup, and she's had a pretty much miserable year. I think Lexi will be somebody that they'll put out early.
Yeah, you think it was in part because Lexi was put out first at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, you know, and they did, but I think they'll get her out early because she's a power player. She could go out. She could get hot and dominate her match. At the same time, her year has been so inconsistent. I don't know how much I'd want to trust her being in the 11th or 12th match, you know?
Right, so. Right. Now, I was just thinking about how much noise there is at these.
Yeah.
What, it's wonderful, right? It's just, all this music is being played, you know, and people are chanting and just having a ball. But then they get really quiet during play.
Unless Danielle Kang is hitting. She encourages the galleries to cheer while she's hitting. So.
My kind of gal. Yeah. Let's go. It's kind of live-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and the atmosphere that they create on the first tee. Now, I mean, what becomes amusing is, you know, they have all this noise going on in the first tee. Well, the first hole is a drivable par four. It's not all that long. It's about 280 yards. So if you're putting on the first green, you're hearing all that noise from the first tee back there. So, and they don't, they may stop when somebody's driving up the first tee, but they're not going to stop when somebody's putting on the first green. So,
oh,
there's a lot to deal with in there. And it does take a peculiar mindset to be able to buy into the atmosphere.
Oh,
and I always thought particularly in Ryder Cup, I always thought that one of the reasons the Europeans have done so well in Ryder Cup is their players buy into the atmosphere better than the Americans do. You know, they love that. They love that soccer match feel.
Yes.
On the first day.
Yes.
Yep.
That, you know, team. And yep. Not only is the team the team, but the team is also, you know, the third man or the whatever number you want to make. Is the spectators. All of your fans are part of your team, you know, and the more they're rallying around you, the more pumped up you get about it. But then you've got to be able to control that kind of energy that is, you know, that anticipation, all of that adrenaline that's flowing through you. And some people, you know, they're not used to having to deal with that, and it makes them more nervous because they're trying to perform. It's personalities. Maybe we should, I don't know what we should do.
Well, you know, I think there are two kinds of players who succeed in this atmosphere. One is the kind of player who totally buys into it, and the other is the kind of player who can completely block it out. You know, you look on the American side, and Angel Yin totally buys into it. Danielle Kang totally buys into it. On the other hand, Rose Zhang can block it all out, you know.
Yes.
And so it's a different mentality. I think Nelly Korda does a pretty good job of blocking it all out.
Yeah, and so does, you know, oh, I keep bringing her up. Do you think I should bring her up again? Allison Corpuz.
Well, I told you at the end of last year I was high on her coming into this season. And
yes, you did.
Yep.
You said
yep.
She'd win, and here she is, U.S. Women's Open champion. 2023, we're going to all have to, you know, call Ron whenever we want to place a bet.
Yes.
Make a wager. Call Ron. All right. Your thoughts, okay, if we may, since nothing is happening in the way of breaking news on who is going to go out first, unless you see that.
I'm still looking at it.
Yeah. We've got a couple of minutes. Your thoughts on the Ryder Cup next week?
Well, you know, it's funny. When they had the Ryder Cup in Paris, I was worried about if they were going to be able to pull it off down there, and they did it brilliantly. So I sort of think that Rome will probably come true just as brilliantly too. I think what fascinates me about both Solheim Cup and Ryder Cup is no matter how many times Europe wins, they go into the next one as the underdog.
Yes.
Europe's won four of the last six Solheim Cups, and they came into this as the underdog. Same thing with Europe's won the last two Ryder Cups, and they're still going to come in as the underdog. I don't get how that happens, but it does seem to.
They don't make as much money.
Yeah.
No, this is, I'm really excited. What do you think about having, you know, the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup always being back to back?
I love it. This is going to be the last year it's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's happened twice and once because of 9/11 and when the Ryder Cup got canceled, then because of COVID when the Ryder Cup got canceled. So there's going to be Solheim's back-to-back years, and next year they're going to Robert Trent Jones in Virginia. You know, we've had back-to-back Solheim Cup, Ryder Cups in the same year now in both 2021, 2023, and I love it. I feel that, like, the first one whets the appetite for the second one.
Yes.
You know, because I love the most exciting format in golf, in my mind, is match play best ball. I mean, you saw this afternoon, everybody's just trying to make birdies. You know, you're attacking. It's really exciting golf. And Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup have all the energy to it, all the excitement to it that LIV Golf's team wishes it has.
Yes.
And doesn't. You know, it doesn't get any better than Ryder Cup and Solheim.
It doesn't. You're right. And, I mean, we should celebrate having the two back-to-back so that, you know, the men and the women and the men, I don't care which order it goes in, but it's awesome, and it's great for our energies. It's like having the Olympics when I was a kid, and everybody was like, yeah, Americans and the teams and this and that. You know, there's it's just fun. It's a wonderful
thing.
You know,
I think they probably worry about stretching the sponsors too thin by having both in the same year.
Oh.
That might be one of the things. I would think TV would love it, because if you're somebody like Golf Channel, you just keep your crew over there for 2 weeks, you know, and so that, you know, it's probably even more cost efficient that way in terms of travel money and stuff. But I think it is not wanting to stretch sponsors too thin by having both in the same year.
And I didn't even think about that, Ron. They all have so much money.
Believe me, it all comes down to money.
Yes, you're right. Ron Czyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, and PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, thank you for being inside the clubhouse today. Awesome.
Talk to you down the road, my friend. Always a pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha. And Aloha Power Equipment's mega store is right next door to Costco gas station on Alakava in Ivilay. We put power at your fingertips. Hey, riding mowers to clear your land, Honda generators with a free 2-year warranty, better price than the big box stores. That's right. Aloha Power Equipment. Prepare. Be ready. Generators on sale at Aloha Power Equipment, and it's all at your fingertips, right next door to Costco, Ivilay, or in Waipahu. That's right. We put power at your fingertips. MD Restoration floods from the inside or the outside. Doesn't matter. It's a mess. Flood or even fire disaster. Well, you need help immediately. MD Restoration's on it anytime, day, night, right away. If disaster strikes your home or your office, call MD Restoration, licensed contractors, 808 528-3434. We're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. And do you have absolutely no idea what you want to give a friend? Well, give them a gift certificate to get with Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy, and they'll have a fabulous time getting better at this game and having so much fun doing it because Claude is absolutely wonderful to spend time with. So, Claude Brousseau, thank you. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.